Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you could join us today. If you haven't already, hit that follow, subscribe button, give us a like. Well, today we are going to step into a topic that I find incredibly interesting, but it can be a little polarizing, just being honest with you. But I think you guys need to hear this because we're going to get some factual information. And one thing I like to do is I like to separate myth and kind of that those type of things that are kind of legends and phrases that sometimes are catchy, but they're not necessarily true. And I like to separate those from actual facts. Because as John Adams once said, facts are stubborn things. So without further ado, we've got a guy on here that's done a film documentary. He is very talented, and you guys are definitely going to want to go out and see this at some point. His name is Andrew Lynn. So, Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, TS, for having me. I'm excited to be on.
All right. Well, we're great to have you on. We're just grateful that you're here. So, Andrew, I want you to just give us a real quick synopsis on your background. You know, our audience is obviously going to want to know your God-shaped journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you said, I'm Andrew Lynn. I'm a half Jewish believer in Jesus. I wasn't raised in the church. I came to faith when I was in my maybe 23, 24. And I went to film school. I grew up always wanting to be in TV and film in some manner. So I went to film school. It was before I was a Christian. Took a documentary course, made a short documentary about ADHD. It came together real nice, to my surprise. I didn't think it would come together as nicely as it did. And so from that, even though I wasn't a Christian, you know, following God at that time, I took the lead or followed that. You know, I figured it's kind of a path of least resistance. I enjoyed doing it and it came together well. So, you know, continue in that area. So several years later, after I became a Christian, I made a documentary, which is behind me, Fearless Freddy, about a World War II submariner that had good success. It's distributed by Newsmax 2. It's on Newsmax Plus, Amazon Prime, Tubi, it's all over. And then this documentary about Roger Williams and the separation of church and state had been on my heart for a while. Shortly after making that one, I've made this one that just came out just in time for the 250th anniversary of the United States. It's fitting for the time and it's fitting for our culture right now, where this is a very confused topic and one that people, you know, I guess bastardize the phrase church and state. I don't know how you put it, but yeah, it's a very confused topic. So I wanted to address that.
Yes, it is. It is definitely confused. And it came from a speech from Thomas Jefferson that people got twisted around as time went on. I'm going to let you speak more to that. But so give us some insight, first of all, before we start talking about the film itself. Give us some insight into what I just talked about. And through, I'm kind of throwing that bone out there to you to gnaw on a little bit about this whole idea of separation church and state and what it really means.
Yeah, absolutely. So the separation of church and state is famously known and touted because of, like you mentioned, Thomas Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptists who lived in Connecticut. At that time in American history, when Thomas Jefferson had become president, the Danbury Baptists lived in Congregationalist Connecticut. A lot of people don't know that the colonies and even into after becoming states had religion married to the state. So each colony, each state had their own denomination. So in Virginia, it was Anglican. In, as I mentioned, Connecticut, it was Congregationalist Puritan. And Baptists were not very popular people throughout history. Largely, people didn't like them. People didn't believe that, you know, they were very upset about not baptizing babies as Baptists believed or Anabaptists. They didn't believe in baptizing babies, and this would call it ruffle feathers. So basically, the Danbury Baptists were writing Thomas Jefferson to say, we feel like our rights, the freedom of religion thing, isn't really being granted to us here, or it is, it's being afforded to us, but it doesn't feel like it's our right. It's like a benefit, or not a benefit, but what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, they didn't feel that they had secure freedom of religion in Connecticut. They felt like it was a privilege. It wasn't a right that they had to practice their faith. And they wanted Jefferson to confirm with them the separation of church and state thing, really just freedom of religion. So what happens today is people mix up, they think freedom of religion is freedom from religion. But if we look back in history at the ratification of the First Amendment, the first thing Congress did following that was call President George Washington to a national day of prayer and thanksgiving. So to the modern man in this era, they'd say, wait a minute, that violates the separation of church and state. A president can't pray. President can't be Christian, of course, right? So, and it's largely this idea, and it's mainly focused on Christians, it seems. It's kind of pointed one direction that Christians, stay out of public affairs, keep that to yourself, keep it private. Muslims, everybody else, you guys, you're a protected class or something like this. You can, do your shahada or pray your prayers to Allah. But it's not exactly what it means, what people think it means. And just one or two more points. So again, the colonies, each colony had a denomination married to the state. That was what was going on throughout history in Europe. Each country had their own denomination ruling the country. So it was to do away with one denomination federally, running the country, having one denomination run the country. And also in each colony, your taxes went to the state, went to the church that was married to that state. So again, if you're a Baptist, Danbury Baptist in Connecticut, your taxes are going to the Puritan church. And that would upset any person or offend their conscience if they don't agree with the doctrines of that church or all that church does. So that's basically where the freedom of religion came in. And it wasn't to get rid of God, to get rid of religion. It was to protect religion. That's the key difference here. That's that's what it was meant for, not to destroy religion, but to protect it.
Amen. Amen. And, I have to, the way I like to describe this church and state thing, first of all, nowhere in your Constitution is there anything about separation of church and state. And number two, it was all about keeping the government out of religion, not the other way around. It wasn't about keeping religion out of the government, because our Christian faith is what established this country. If you guys don't believe me, go watch A Great Awakening. Learn about George Whitefield and Benjamin Franklin. That relationship is going to power the spirit of the American Revolution. And we're going to be celebrating that 250th anniversary this year. And I'm just saying, George Whitefield is at the center of this. So I can't, I have to throw that out there with everything that you're saying, because people need to know this. If you've not seen the film, A Great Awakening, go see it. If you haven't seen this film he's getting ready to talk about, go see it. You need to see this. All right. This is important. It's not just entertaining. It is educational. And we need a central theme right now in our country about bringing God and promoting God and making Jesus the centerpiece of our country. If we don't, we are doomed to fail. We are doomed to fail. I'm going to leave a Ronald Reagan quote for you towards the end, and I'm going to throw that out there for you guys. Now, I want to get into church and state. I want you to tell us all about Roger Williams, church and state, and the founding of freedom of religion. Andrew, take it away.
Yeah, absolutely. So Roger Williams was a Puritan. He was a theologian and politician. He came here from England to the Massachusetts Bay Colony. He emigrated here with the other pilgrims, and he was well respected. When he got here, they wanted him to preach at different areas because he was such a well-respected and intelligent man. A lot of people don't know this. Massachusetts Bay Colony was a religious state. And so when the Puritans came here, they wanted to establish a Hebrew republic. They believed they were the new chosen people of God. They wanted the language, a lot of people don't know this, of America to be Hebrew. So a lot of people don't know that. They established a religious state, a theocracy, basically, where they controlled every aspect of your life, the length of your hair. A lot of Puritans are depicted with long hair. Puritans didn't have long hair. That was a law, a regulation in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. If you had long hair, You had to cut it. You had to go to, if you lived in the colony, whether, you know, you had to go to church on Sunday, you couldn't be single. People were banished. And what I mean by you couldn't be single is you couldn't live alone. You'd have to live with family. These are all regulations. And they would banish people for things like being too proud. If they determined you were too proud, you were gone. And so Roger Williams saw this, and he saw this throughout, you know, kind of Christian history in Europe, you know, this persecution of people who just think differently, not persecution of Muslims, sometimes Jews, but persecution of other Christians who just think differently. And he saw this as a great error. And it was in his mind, they were repeating the error that they were escaping from in England, because Puritans were hated in England by the Anglican Church. So that's why they came here. So he was, you know, he thought this was not right. Didn't make sense. And he kind of put forth freedom of conscience, soul liberty. This was his big thing, freedom of conscience, soul liberty. And so the Massachusetts Bay Colony authorities didn't like what he had to say. So they banished him, hoping that he would die in an English prison. By the grace of God, he escaped the authorities and went on to go found the colony of Rhode Island. He first established Providence. He named it Providence because he felt it was the providence of God that safely brought him there, and the Indians there treated him well. He bought the land from the Indians, and he established what is considered to be the first charter, which is the charter for the colony, basically the Constitution of Rhode Island, that had freedom of religion in the world. So this may have been the first in the history of the world to have freedom of religion as its establishing charter, where it stated that nobody can be molested for differences on opinion in matters of religion. And there was more to it, but that's basically the idea behind it. So he's a courageous, very intelligent man. And my film delves into his arguments largely. There's the history of what was going on in Britain. This is kind of funny, but so say a king or queen was Protestant, they'd persecute Catholics. Then a Catholic, you know, king or queen would come in and they'd persecute Protestants, and vice versa. This is a seesaw thing going on. It's pretty ridiculous, almost laughable. So it goes into that brief history of what was going on in England, what brought people here, and then Roger Williams' arguments for freedom of religion. And it's all based on the Bible. He based all his arguments on the Bible. He was a very Christian man. If you read the Charter of Rhode Island, which you can online, it's just very Christian language, more Christian than the most Christian pastor today, certainly more Christian than something the Pope would say. And these men in those days were very, you know, serious about their faith, and they took it, you know, many of them would be willing to die for Christ, you know, and put in situations where they stood on Christ, to, you know, against all odds. So, but yeah.
Amen. Amen. I love it. And, you know, the thing is that we have to realize when people were coming over here from Europe, all right, and it wasn't just England, but England was the bulk of it at that time. When we were getting other people from Europe as well, from other parts of Europe, many of them were escaping religious persecution. And they wanted to establish this, a way for them to worship as they chose, as they wanted to worship Christ. But I will tell you that over 90% of them were Christ followers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, though, is they established a land that still that would allow, if somebody didn't worship Christ, that they could still live within those same laws, and they could still live in that freedom. It wasn't that common. There was very few people who were atheist or somebody who didn't believe, because most of them did. But it was funny how they were very accepting of people who didn't, and the few that did, you know, those few that did not. And there also were some Jewish people that escaped over here during those time periods as well and established their own areas. And Christians lived with them in peace because they had seen, like what you referred to, what it was like over in Europe. And so some of that persecution died off. Was it perfect? No, I'm not going to sit here and say it was perfect. Obviously, we get things like the Salem witch trials and all this other stuff. And so there was some incidents. they're human beings. I mean, we have human beings. There's going to be sin, but the laws, and by and large, it was peaceful, and it established an ability for Christians to worship Jesus Christ as they chose. And the basis, the moral basis of society, was wrapped in that Judeo-Christian biblical, basically biblical attitude. That's how the laws were put together. And I think that's very important for people to understand that.
Absolutely.
And so a question for you, Andrew, is that obviously within this film, and you're giving us, you know, kind of giving us that roundabout kind of bird's eye view of it. Give us something specific in the film that you think is going to really draw people in. And they're like, this is something you have to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for me in the research, hearing Roger Williams' arguments, which I found very fascinating. So he, in debating this issue with the authorities of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, he said, look, guys, you're not the new chosen people. There's only one theocracy established by God, and that was ancient Israel. And so he took the Ten Commandments and he divided them into the two tables. He said the first table is our relationship with God, right? And then the second table is our relationship with our neighbors. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. So any civil government since the only theocracy established by God, with any civil government since then, can only enforce the second table. The first table, people's relationship to God, you can't enforce, because people, you know, when you enforce religious uniformity, you get hypocrites. People can say whatever they want at the edge of a sword. Of course, I love Jesus. You know, if there's a threat. Yeah, exactly. So, and that's just to me, yeah. And that's just to me fascinating. And there is even, I don't know if I should go into it to give too much away, but he has other arguments that are really, really fascinating. And he divides everything into two tables, two swords, two kingdoms. And the fact that he could see this, you know, it's just very brilliant. And to me, he was like the first, this was before the revolution by about 100 and so years. And he was just brilliant. And he was like the first American to me, like what our Constitution became was like his ideas. Like he was very American. What we believe as Americans today, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, all this, he was like the pioneer for this. And this was radical at that time. This was like, you know, very radical. And he wasn't, a lot of people would think, oh, freedom of religion had to come from a Mason or a atheist or agnostic. But no, it came from a hyper religious Christian man who saw sheep being persecuted by states, you know, real, you know, by wolves, you know, and this has been going on so long throughout history. It's like, that's enough, guys. We're on a new land. Let's stop killing one another. Let's stop persecuting one another, banishing one another, just because we disagree on, say, baptism, because we disagree on different things. You know, we need a certain level of toleration. But, you know, one other thing is a lot of people think freedom means anarchy. You get to do what you want. He was not an anarchist. These men were not anarchists. They hated anarchy. You know, they believed, and he specifically, Roger Williams, believed in authority, and that people should be deferential to authority and so forth. And they weren't anarchists. They believed in honor. They believed Romans 13, you know, that the sword of the state is to promote good and deter evil, punish evil. And if you actually read the charter, you know, he's basically they say he's like the founder of freedom of religion, Roger Williams, and, you know, separation church and state kind of stuff. But if you read the charter of Rhode Island, I mean, yeah, it has the freedom of religion, but it also says that their goal as a charter was to convert Native Americans to the one true God of the Christian faith. So, you know, it's not like, people need to read the original charters of these colonies and, see the way things were. And as I said to you before, we're foundationally a Christian country. We're not a theocracy. But if you look to Japan, you'd say that's a Buddhist country. You know, is their government Buddhist? No. But the population is what, like 90% Buddhist? Mm-hmm. So while, you know, the numbers are waning here in America, it's like 60% now Christian. At that time in the founding, it was like 90%. And, you know, it's still majority Christian at 60%. So, and, you know, all laws are based on a culture's beliefs. There's a reason we don't have polygamy. We don't have bestiality. You go to the Middle East, they got different laws about polygamy. They got different laws about all this stuff. So, and, you know, there's a reason it's not outlawed to eat pig here, you know? So, yeah, so.
Amen. Amen. You know, one of the things too that I want to throw out there for you guys to all chew on is that our Judeo-Christian roots have been in place, like he said, since the founding. And things like all the different laws that we have, you need to think about where would they have gotten their moral understanding from? You know, did they just come up with that out of thin air? No, it was biblically based. It was all biblically based because, look, we live in a republic, and our founding fathers, the ones that put these laws, people like Roger Williams would have been an influence on these guys. Their laws, they put together a republic of laws, because they understood that anarchy and democracy don't work. You'll not see things like church and state. You will not see the word democracy anywhere in our Constitution. They hated democracy because they knew that it always ended in anarchy and then would turn into tyranny somehow. That's exactly the process of it. If you want to understand the roots of our government, it is in a republic of laws that has a biblical basis. And that's why the United States of America still has the best country in the world. We are the best country in the world, and we are a light and a beacon to the world on how our laws and how their constitution should be put together. I'll let you comment on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. The Constitution is why we're the greatest country in the world. Freedom is the reason we're the greatest country in the world. Democracy does not work. I think it was Benjamin Franklin who said, it was one of the founders, said something like to the effect that if 51% of a country votes to kill 49%, the other 49%, I don't think that's a good idea, right?
No.
And but that could happen, you know.
Yeah.
And the point is, yeah, democracy is absurd. You just vote in more goody treats for yourself. That's basically all it is. You vote for the guy who's going to promise you the most. And in a republic, you know, a lot of people, and I didn't for a time understand the Electoral College, but it's absolutely brilliant. It's insanely brilliant. And they just saw into the future. They saw the past. And, you know, because in a pure democracy, three or four cities would decide every election in every state, and everybody else in this country would have no say in matters of the federal government or presidency. And it's the best thing to do is look at things that are different than us or that we could compare to. So, like, for instance, Brazil is a pure democracy. Brazil, you know, you have to get 51% of the vote to become president. And look how that country's doing. You know, it's not good. And and again, and then also with the freedom of and freedom, which is addressed in the documentary, by the way, the argument freedom of versus freedom from religion. Again, George Washington prayed, you know, National Day of Prayer and Thanksgiving, called to by Congress following the ratification of the First Amendment. If you want freedom from religion, there's a country called an atheist country called Communist China, where they have that, where you can worship, but not freely. There's rules, regulation, and it's a hard life if you want to be, you know, anything but an atheist. If you want to be a Christian in China, it's not going to be as comfortable as it is here. And you're not going to hear a Chinese president, say anything about God. Whereas here in America, we say a lot about God in our founding documents, presidents. We celebrate Christian holidays. We have federal holidays off for Christian holidays. There's a reason for that. So, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, just as we're getting ready to wrap up here, I just want you to make sure you understand where you can go see this thing. All right. First of all, go to their website, and that is churchandstatedoc.com. churchandstate.com. Again, that's church, C-H-U-R-C-H, the word and, A-N-D, state, S-T-A-T-E, D-O-C.com. And check this out. You've got to look at this. And, you know, spend a little time understanding this, because we need the spirit of Christianity to be portrayed in our politics. We do. I'm not saying out there that we need a theocracy. I agree with that. There should not be a theocracy. But we need to push our faith into the public square in a positive way, the goodness of our faith, because that does help keep stability in society in so many ways. Andrew, I want to thank you for being on the show. And just real quick, guys, go to JesusSaid.tv. Yes, JesusSaid.tv. If you're listening to us on one of our auditory platforms, you may be watching this on JesusSaid.tv right now, but go and check us out there. Also, go to TSWrightSpeaks.com, which is my website. You can get our discipleship book. If you want an order in bulk, just go all the way to the bottom and message me. If you're interested in potentially doing some programming and doing your own ministry and highlighting your ministry, go down and message me as well. Just do that on TSWrightSpeaks.com and we can talk about that. Well, Andrew, again, thank you for being on the show. Love this. Man, I want to have you back on sometime and let's get into some of the deeper topics about this. But we are out of time for now. So now, everybody, you know how we end every show. Go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.